Short break. The French translation will begin a bit later. So if you hear it, wait. La traduction en français commence en retard.
Good evening, and I'm so happy to be here. This is the first time for me speaking in front of you at a stage. This is the age of me passively being here is over. And there is a part zero of this presentation, and this is about emotion, and this is going to be a kind of emotional part of me. All of the things I'm going to talk about, Wikipedia and so on, wouldn't be possible without the chaos in general and people from CCC and people organizing these conferences. And when I say Wikipedia wouldn't exist without you, I think that this is not hyperbole. This is an actual statement that I truly believe in. To give you some context, this is me at a earlier Chaos Communication Congress. The building you will see is the BCC in Berlin. And we were fortunate and happy to be part of this conference. This was one of the first meetings of Wikipedians in Germany in person. I mean, we knew each other from IRC and other media, but this is a whole new different game of interacting with people and being in a safe, nurturing space, having great discussions and so on. So thank you for making this whole thing possible and being part of Wikipedia's history. You in person, but also you as an ecosystem and a community of people. Thank you. So a couple of things about me. So I joined Wikipedia as an author in 2003, so 2 years after it was founded. I became a co-founder of Wikimedia Germany. You might have seen colleagues of mine at the Open Knowledge Habitat. If you didn't visit them, give them a visit in the next days and say hello. I was also an employee there, and I did a bunch of other stuff. Anke, you are part of this other stuff I did in between. And it's helpful to just mention the fact that I currently work at a tech company, and this tech company is using AI, so take this as a sort of caution, I think. But the presentation is completely unrelated to the daytime work I'm doing. This is me in a private capacity as a Wikipedian. And we can talk about intersections afterwards. I'm happy to do so. So part one, this is a story about AI. And it begins with the one phrase that Wikipedians all over the world have been saying whenever being asked about the quality of Wikipedia, and saying Wikipedia might be a good place to start research, it's definitely a terrible place to end research. And if we truly believe this statement, then there is a moral obligation of Wikipedians to provide resources to continue research somewhere else. And one of these tools is providing literature and references. And these references in Wikipedia are important. They are an integral part of it. And we love any means possible to make access to these materials that we reference easy and possible. So if you just mention an ISBN and MediaWiki, it will automatically be converted into a special link. And the special link will take you to national libraries and to bookstores and to smaller libraries and to secondhand places. So any place you could find this literature should be mentioned there, one way or another. And the ISBNs ISP in general have lots of cool features. They are there is a hierarchy in there, so the first letter of the first character of the ISBN is going to tell you about the language, and there are different categories of parts that relate to the publisher, but the last digit is a checksum. There are two different formulas for calculating the ISBN 10 and ISBN 13 checksums, but they all boil down to basically the sum of the product of different digits. And there is a formula, and there is a mathematical proof that it is impossible to switch two numbers without resulting in a mismatched checksum. So if you use an ISBN, there is a good chance that you will be able to verify that the ISBN is indeed a valid one. And as part of me playing around with technology, I wrote a checksum checker. So I downloaded the whole content from the German language Wikipedia. I wrote a small parser looking for ISBNs in various places. Some of them are in templates, some of them are just mentioned in the articles itself. I extracted the ISBN, and then I ran the checksum algorithm to see if there are any mismatches. This is pretty straightforward. This is not rocket science by any means. This is just parsing, in the case of German language Wikipedia, 30 gigabytes of text files. It's something that should have been done earlier, and in some cases it might have been done already by someone else, but I wasn't aware of this work being done. And I started this work with two use cases of things I was hoping to find. The first one is ISBN references with wrong, mismatched ISBNs because of any kind of human mistake. So the idea was to find people, to find ISBNs where people had inadvertently switched different numbers, or had, where one had turned into a two or a zero into a nine or something like this, any kind of honest mistake. And the second category is a bit funny, because in the 80s and 90s, many publishers were completely unable to understand the concept of checksums, so they usually just incremented their ISBNs by one. So the next volume just became plus one, and so on. And libraries all over the world are capable of handling these situations. So there, in most library catalogs, there is a special field for saying, well, this ISBN is technically wrong, but it's printed on the book, and it if it works like an ISBN and it walks, then we're just going to accept this. So if you come across these, usually from the 80s, 90s, wrong ISBNs, they are still going to work in library catalogs and so on. Sometimes you will get an angry remark saying, this is a wrong ISBN, but it still works as an ISBN. And Wikipedia has a template. It's in the German language Wikipedia, it's called ISBN Falsch, simply saying, yes, technically the ISBN is wrong, but the link is going to work, and nothing is happening preventing you from accessing the content or finding the library in question that has the book or the any kind of physical or non-corporeal medium that contains the information you're looking for. What I did find were three categories of errors. The first one, I found a couple of them, I corrected them. I found the second category of errors, and I could simply add the template to indicate, yes, it's technically a wrong ISBN, but it's still going to work like one, because everybody else is aware of the error. And then I found a third category that I wasn't aware of, and I hadn't anticipated, and this gave me quite a headache. So I found articles in Wikipedia that contained two, sometimes more, literature references containing references that had checksum errors, and the book titles and the author names, they all sounded plausible, familiar, and sometimes they were indeed the names of authors that had published in this field, but I couldn't, for the life of me, couldn't find the literature in any catalog. I could find similar literature, I could find things of similar titles, but I couldn't find the literature itself. It's always something that was missing or anything like this. And then it hit me. And you probably know how this this is going to be resolved. These literature references were hallucinated by, in most cases, by ChatGPT. So people had asked ChatGPT to write Wikipedia articles, and in their compliance and in their training data as trained, the large language model simply provided both the article and a set of completely hallucinated literature references, and people had simply cut and pasted this into Wikipedia. ChatGPT did what it was asked to do, and people thought what they did was the logical next step of dumping the content into Wikipedia. And Wikipedia is not alone in this discovery. So the University Library of Hagen already in 2023 reported about students asking the librarians to find literature references that matched existing journals, existing issues, but the other information was simply unable to be verified. The International Committee of the Red Cross has issued a strongly worded warning on hallucinated references, because the next thing they encountered when telling people that the literature or the references they are looking for does not exist is they are being accused of hiding the truth. So this is a much more unpleasant reaction than the ones I was aware of until then. In most cases, it's simply a waste of time of staff at libraries hunting down literature that doesn't exist. There's a beautiful article about the situation in 404 Media. I can wholly recommend this. And I forgot to include the link, so I failed on the providing references part. And this is the part where this turns from a story about AI into a story about AI and humans. And I would like to remind people that this is, as such, not a new issue we are dealing with. So this is an old XKCD comic making fun or describing a scenario in which circular references are being created. Someone makes up something, puts it in Wikipedia, someone else is copying the information, putting into the stuff into a newspaper article. Someone else is saying, oh, there is a citation missing in the Wikipedia article, and by this time there is sufficient information online supposedly verifying the claim. So the circle of reference is established and it's getting stronger. There are hilarious examples in which the German president, not the current one, but an older one, gave a laudatio to the German national soccer team, the female soccer team, praising progress in gender equality and making remarks on how former teams were awarded dishes as a present when winning championships. And this was half truth. Some part of it was true. The other one didn't turn out to be true. But now it's a circular reference because people are referencing the German president for making this claim. And it's increasingly hard to disprove the non-existence of a fact when there is plenty of evidence to cite from. So the best way to stop such a circular reference is to prevent it from ever getting it started. And yes, there is a bigger issue at stake, and it's not just the one article that that is now contaminated. It is, I think, a good example on the shortcomings of existing large language models, and you might have seen articles discussing whether this is a systemic issue that can never be fully resolved, that large language models are machines designed to provide plausible tokens following a certain sequence. So reality or factuality is never an issue, it's about plausibility. And this is what one could describe as a kind of anti-knowledge, the antithesis to what an encyclopedia project like Wikipedia is about. Also there is quite a deep irony in there. Wikipedia has proven to be one of the most prominent source of training data for most of the large language models. So these model providers are using Wikipedia. They are using tons of other information too, but Wikipedia content is useful because it's multilingual, it has a rich density of information, there's a network of information and links between, it's multilingual. In so many ways, there is a version history providing kind of a temporal concept. So the large language model providers are in some way poisoning their own pond from which they are drinking the water from. I gave a similar speech in the conference of Wikipedians a couple of months ago, and I was told, as an offhand remark by someone, that these model providers are approaching organizations for content. They are still in the acquisition phase of asking for more content, and they are asking for content that is proven to be free from synthetic information. So they are quite aware of the issue, and they are paying a premium for getting content that is free from their own contaminations. If there is an irony in there, I may be by now too angry to see it, but your mileage may vary. You might still see the irony here. Back to Wikipedia, is there a consensus how to deal with the content? As far as I can tell, and this is something that is always kind of a status quo discussion, there seems to be a consensus building up saying that at least the undeclared use of large language model is frowned upon, and people have been banned from Wikipedia for dumping large language model created content into Wikipedia. It's a kind of vandalism that we have seen before. We have dealt with this because we were concerned about copyright issues, about people doing all kinds of things. But in this case, there is some sort of consensus building up. Other languages are following to some degree. There is a new speedy deletion rule in the English language Wikipedia that has a slightly higher threshold in saying, okay, this is about blatantly obvious content identified as LLM generated. I think this is a good first step in the right direction, but at the same time, the bar keeps getting raised by the changes in how the models work and the kind of content they are producing. So does the policy work? Also hard to tell. Maybe to some degree it does work, but in general there is too much unknown at this point, because this scenario I described of content being identified as LLM generated because two or more ISBN references mismatch. This is a highly specific scenario, and most of the cases where content has been dumped into Wikipedia has other issues. And there are other telltale signs that help Wikipedians identify this content. At a conference in Potsdam a couple of months ago, I was told that most current large language models are completely unable to consistently produce the kind of MediaWiki syntax that Wikipedia uses. They are still falling back to markdown language. Sometimes they are using the English language template names rather than the German template names, and then they sometimes translate the English template names into German. So this might result in not the usage of non-existent templates. Sometimes they add parameters into the template that do not exist. So these are things that a slightly skilled Wikipedian is able to detect, but it's there is no fixed set of small rules that helps people to identify LLM-generated content. It's always kind of a one screw up and then kind of a backtracing the actions of certain users. And this is the next part is the why. So so the first part is the what the fuck part, and the other one is the why the fuck part. I'm going to present four different theories on why people are doing this, and these might not be conclusive, and I'm refraining from saying, oh, it has to be one of these four, but I'm open to new suggestions. The first one is the explanation stemming from the assume good faith rule in Wikipedia. Some people might simply not know what the capabilities and limitations of large language models are, and they are in some state of blissful ignorance, thinking that they are doing something good. So they might consider their dumping of content generated by LLMs as kind of a service to the whole community, saying, yes, we added a new article. It looks like knowledge. What's wrong with that? I have yet to find a person qualifying for this kind of explanation. I would like to see one someday. The people I encountered with, the people I talk to, do not fall into this category. Then there's one, and this is the... So we are moving into darker and more frustrating territory. It's people being aware of their inability to contribute to Wikipedia in a meaningful manner and trying to compensate this by getting outside help. I'm trying neutral description, but it might not. I might have failed on this one. So, in theory, this could at least be kind of a non-evil, well-meaning thing of saying, "Okay, I'm dyslexic. I need a spell checker. I can't do proper research, so I need an assistant to do so." It might be some sort of equivalent. I'm happy to meet these people too. Then there is the agenda part, to which I'm happily going to refer to a presentation made from Asaf Batov at the Wikimedia conference this year, where he described the weaponization of LLMs, of saying, okay, let's change 10, 100, 1,000 articles through the use of one motivated person, rewriting history, rewriting this. He had fun exploring the limitations of LLMs and the safeguards, and LLMs saying, I'm not going to do this. I also had fun during his presentation jailbreaking these safeguards and talking large language models into collaborating with me to rewrite history. And there's always the fourth one. It might be something else. So this is the catch-all explanation. It might be something else. But then again, this is an open invitation for you to add your experiences. In most cases where I discovered content written by large language models and dumped into it from users, I tried to contact these users. I tried to get them to confirm the usage of LLMs. And there was one question I asked them consistently is, please show me the prompt. I asked him to tell me, could you please show me the prompt that you used? And this is now my kind of litmus test of saying, if you are climbing into the ignorance part, saying, oh, I just used this as a tool to copy edit the work I already did, it shouldn't be a problem for you to give me the prompt. Most of the large language model providers have share functions, allowing you to completely share the conversation if you like. And the amount of excuses I got is impressive in terms of creativity. So I was never logged in. The dog ate my prompt. I canceled this. I can't find it anymore. How dare you ask me this question? These are sensitive information. This is not a proof that is made to be foolproof in a sense, but this is my personal litmus test of testing whether people are sincere and whether their ignorance is plausible. And this might be the reason why I might sound slightly more frustrated than I usually are when it comes to technology, because I like technology and I like to play with this. And I'm still hoping that things are getting better through some sense of useful technology. And so this is part three. This is about humans. Remember the slide when I said I wrote the checksum checker? No, I didn't write it. I theoretically know how to write it, but I'm not good at it, and I'm getting easily frustrated. So the checksum checker was written through the use of an AI. In this case, it's Claude Opus. I had so much fun talking to a large language model, providing me with Python and later with a C code to parse Wikipedia content. The source code that was the result of this conversation is released on GitHub. It is openly declared to be a result of large language model use, and I personally think that this is an acceptable use of large language models, but I'm also open to criticism. And there are plenty of avenues how to base this on. At this point, it's not a bold claim to say that AI might not be going away anytime soon. Some companies might be going away, some business models might be going away, but in general, the whole concept of transformer-based large language models is in some way, shape, or form going to stay. And I'm slightly concerned about Wikipedia as a project, but also the impression that many people are simply completely unaware of the limitations and the lack of responsibility of companies properly explaining these limitations. The ISBN checker is unlikely to stay a tool to detect this content, because I strongly believe that at some point the large language model will be able to hallucinate proper checksums, and in even the best case scenario, we are at a 1 in 10 or 1 in 11 chance of getting it right. I believe at this point the chances are already slimmer, because there is a pattern in this generation of numbers. And this is why I say this is about humans. The AI is never, and this is IBM said this in the 70s or 60s, AI is never going to be able to assume responsibility. This is always the responsibility of a human, and the first part has to be some sort of conversation about who's taking responsibility for the use of tools, and what are the conditions in which this use is accepted by a community, a society, someone else. So the minimum requirement I was able to identify is the open declaration of the usage of LLM. And after I gave a similar talk in Nairobi, I was approached by researchers who are working exactly on that and trying to write proposals. And the part that makes me sleep slightly better than I should be able to is the fact that the feedback I got from humans is overwhelmingly constructive and positive. So the first thing engineers from Wikimedia Foundation did is they tried to recreate the numbers and check whether other languages are affected too, what the percentage of these issues are, and yes, other language editions are affected too. The small checksum tool I did contributed to the German language Wikipedia being the only Wikipedia edition that had a drop in mismatches in ISBNs, so it is possible at a human scale to significantly influence the quality of an issue or the quality of Wikipedia in certain areas. I'm happy that other people in other language editions are helping too, but it's definitely not enough right at this point. And then, of course, the whole overall, so this is the part where it becomes speculative and a kind of a plea for help, saying this is not something I can do myself. This is something I can point to the issue. I can say, how do we communicate the issues and limitations? How do we how can we look for tools that can mitigate the issue? Is there, aside from the technology, is there a legal, a political, a moral pathway to shame companies into improving their tools? So, for example, ChatGPT saying in a slightly light gray on dark gray color, oh, the results might be inaccurate. Is this enough? Is the European Union going to help us in the application of the AI Act, for example? This is a conversation I'm taking part in, and you should too. And the last point is the kind of a one-size-fits-all question. So is there still a place for an encyclopedia in this world? And this is a question I'm asking completely unrelated to other people in other countries releasing LLM rewrites of Wikipedia or things that have different agendas. So the part I'd really liked is the aftermath of me pointing out the issues, the feedback I got, the constructive, helpful, slightly concerned criticism on what should be done next, how to improve this. My personal to-do, and this is unchanged, is I would like to integrate actual bibliographic databases into this check to see, okay, is the title matching to some degree? Are author names matching years, publisher names? Are there any available reliable data sources from national libraries that could help me find more hallucinated content that happens to have a correct ISBN or doesn't have an ISBN at all? And also, this is a plea from my side, if you are a librarian, if you want to become a librarian, join. I published the source code, which was, as I said, to a large degree LLM generated at these places. I'm also doing a rewrite into a more flexible tool that does a couple of other tests too. And I'm honestly surprised about the quality of the code that I'm receiving. And this might be possible because I wouldn't be able to recreate it from scratch by myself. I'm pretty sure that this is something that other people feel differently about. At this point, thank you so much for attending this talk. I feel obligated on saying, wishing you a good night after the Q&A session, and also don't forget the 1-2-8 rule, because there are plenty of more interesting talks tomorrow, and you have to be in good shape for that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for the talk. We have time for one question. There. From the internet. So the signal angel.
Okay, there is a question on how can you identify AI-generated content when it doesn't have any obvious errors, like you mentioned, and doesn't it have a risk to flag false positives?
Yeah. At this point, I don't feel qualified to identify, to positively identify LLM-generated content. There are some telltale signs about the use of adjectives, the certain structures. As I said, there are syntax and template issues. This is just a suspicion, and there are a couple of other reasons why you have to be careful about this. And also, there is a general reluctance of admitting the use of LLMs for many reasons. At a certain point, it's up to the community to decide whether the suspicion alone should be reason enough to quarantine the content and to see what else should be done. But in many cases, you can work backwards and saying, okay, I found a person publishing something that is clearly AI-generated, for a couple of reasons, and then I can go backwards, and the community consensus in Wikipedia seems to be that if the person is unable to provide specific evidence on the starting point of when the AI use started, the cutoff date is simply November 2022, and we have to delete the things that have been uploaded after November 22. It might sound harsh, but I don't think that Wikipedians are able to scale to the extent that large language models do right now.
Then thank you again for this great talk, and I ask for you a great round of applause.